We welcome everyone, whether here in person, on Zoom or YouTube, to our service today, and we thank Viv Henderson for leading our worship. And I will now light the candle for a time of quiet as we prepare for worship.
Well, welcome everybody. The prophet Ezekiel said this: "You are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the sovereign Lord." So, any guesses as to what passages we're going to have today? I think the sheep are a giveaway, aren't they? So it's lovely to join you today and to welcome those who are joining us on Zoom and on YouTube. So let's stand to sing, if we're able, "Come People of the Risen King." Second song, you can sit down if you want to, but it's "Oh Let the Son of God Enfold You." So let us pray. Lord Jesus, our good shepherd, you have sought us out and found us. You know us by name, and we are yours. Help us to follow you more firmly, more hopefully, and to rejoice in the abundance of life you offer us. We pray this for your love's sake and to your glory. Amen.
Amen.
Now in our prayers of confession, there's a response. So when I pause, can you jump in and say, Lord, forgive us. Guardian of our souls, we turn to you and confess that this week there have been times when we could have done better and we have wandered from your ways. Lord, forgive us. We have made poor choices or could have made better ones. Lord, forgive us. We have ignored the needs of others. Lord, forgive us. We have failed to keep our promises. Lord, forgive us. We have missed the opportunities you have given us. Lord, forgive us. And we have failed to forgive others. Lord, forgive us. So thank you that your steadfast love never ceases and that your love never comes to an end. So help us to make a fresh start, that your love may follow us all the days of our life and that we may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn is The Lord's My Shepherd.
Thank you.
just down the road from where we live, there is a little church which is, I think it comes from being a slightly newer piece of housing than the rest of Thorpe St Andrew. And it is called the Church of the Good Shepherd. And when I was talking to some of my friends there, they said, oh, well, of course it is Good Shepherd Sunday. So I think they must have been dedicated on that day, because that's the way the Anglican Church work, isn't it? Anyway, I want to show you a picture. Okay. Now, when we were in Lincoln in the autumn, we went into the cathedral, and this is a part of a fresco in the side chapel, which is which is beyond the high altar. It's called the Russell Chapel. That's not the right one. Hang on. I've skipped. Yes, that's right. Okay, this is fine. This caused quite a stir after it was painted, because when you go in, there are paintings everywhere. It's probably smaller than the Blake Room, and this is the picture behind the high altar, and then behind you, the shepherd is looking at a scene which shows Lincoln in the time when it was a big wool gathering centre, because the chapel was actually dedicated to a Christian martyr called St Blaise. And St Blaise met a sticky end. So when the Duncan Grant was asked to paint something in this chapel, and he either went to town, there are wildflowers and all sorts of things on other things, he decided he wasn't going to paint St Blaise meeting his gory end under the Romans. He would use this instead. And there's quite a history of... Right in the back, there's sort of early Christian imagery that you find in the catacombs in Rome are pictures of the Good Shepherd in a similar stance with sheep and goats next to them. And there's a particular tomb there that has one that survived. But this actually caused a bit of a stir, because when he was looking around for a model, he used a close friend, a very close friend, and when he was thinking about doing a picture of St Blaise looking at the Good Shepherd, he chose himself. So when it sort of came out, there was a bit of a furore, and the cathedral actually closed the chapel for well on 50 years, because they just thought, no, we can't have this, you know, we know too much about the artist now, we can't just concentrate on the painting. It was very interesting looking at this and thinking, well, how can something like this, beautiful, how can that cause such a stir, but such as it was? So we've got lots of references in the Bible to the Good Shepherd, or the Shepherd. God is referred to as the Shepherd, as we heard in Ezekiel. There's one of the Psalms that mentions that, and very often the people of God are referred to as sheep. Now, in our culture, because we don't know so much about sheep, I think Anne does, but sheep are thought to be a bit silly and stupid, but actually they're quite intelligent. And in the days of when the Psalms were written, to be called a sheep was to be regarded as something of great value to its owner. So you can see it as a sign of feeling precious and valuable for God. I mean, the sheep is actually the first animal that is named in the Bible. And lots of people's wealth was... was shown in how many sheep they had. You know, think about Job and the way in which it's described, how many sheep he's got. So these are all things of great were of great value to God, and that's the imagery. But I think sometimes we go with these biblical things and thinking, so what would it be? If the Lord is my shepherd, who would it? How would I translate that in these terms? So let's listen to what Peter has to say. I think Wendy's got that.
This reading comes from the 1 Peter chapter 2. For God is pleased when conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Of course, you get no credit for being patient if you are beaten for doing wrong. But if you suffer for doing good and endure it patiently, God is pleased with you. For God called you to do good, even if it means suffering, just as Christ suffered for you. He is your example, and you must follow in his steps. He never sinned, nor deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted, nor threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds, you are healed. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of yourselves. Thanks be to God.
So we'll now take up our offering. Heavenly Father, we cannot put a price on what you have done for us, but we bring you these gifts here and elsewhere for the work of your work in the world. May your kingdom come, your will be done. Amen. Anne's going to bring a reading to us now. I wonder what it is.
It's John's Gospel, chapter 10, and it's headed The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run away from him because they don't know his voice. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant, so he explained it to them. I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. A hired hand will run when he sees a wolf coming. He will abandon the sheep because they don't belong to him and he isn't their shepherd. And so the wolf attacks and scatters the flock. The hired hand runs away because he's working only for the money and doesn't really care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and they know me, just as my Father knows me and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. I have other sheep too that are not in this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock with one shepherd. The Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so that I may take it back again. No one can take my life from me. I sacrifice it voluntarily, for I have the authority to lay it down when I want to, and also to take it up again. For this is what my Father has commanded. Thanks be to God for his word in the Bible.
And if those words sound a wee bit familiar, we did have part of that reading a couple of weeks ago, because Tina, in her preaching on a theme, actually took today's lectionary reading as one of her passages. There may be a tiny overlap with what Tina said about belonging and identity, but I'm trying to focus more today on where the shepherd might be leading us. That's where I'm going. But I might get a bit distracted, so apologise. So we're going to see another picture. Peter and the AV team have been having fun this week. And the copyright on this was a little dubious. Because the thing is that this picture was actually exhibited in 1898 at the Royal Academy, and you'd have thought it would be free from copyright by now. However, over 300,000 reproductions were made, and the prints are still available today for a little bit of dosh. So what we've done is I had a copy of this on my computer, and I actually saw this painting in a print of it when I went to a place called Crowhurst, a place of healing in Sussex, many years ago. I mean, it was before Matthew was Matthew was born, so that's over 35 years ago. And so what we've done is we've actually put the painter's copyright on the bottom of it. So all those who want to nick the image, go and nick somebody else's, please. So this painting, when I think about the Good Shepherd, this is the image that I think about. And it really draws us in to the story of the lost sheep. You can see the shepherd really, really reaching down to the sheep, and the sheep is straining to meet the shepherd. There's a bit of peril in it because there's a bird of prey hovering over. That's not a dove. That's some sort of eagle, or you know, some kind of raptor. So if the shepherd doesn't get there very soon, there's two, are there? Oh yes. Yes. Oh yes. Well, so they both want some dinner. So they're
feeding a family.
Yes, at this time, I don't know. I've had a couple of pigeons have been attacked in my garden. I just see the piles of feathers, and with hungry peregrines on Norwich Cathedral, that's probably one of the things. So anyway, this, going back to the picture, you wonder whether the shepherd is going to get there in time. And if he does, will he be able to fend off the predator? And he's putting himself in peril to do that. And there is a bramble over his road. He's already fought his way through the brambles to get to this sheep. He's steadying himself on the rock face, and you can just about see his staff. Can you see? He's really dug in his shepherd's staff next to the bramble at the top left-hand corner to steady himself. So he's not even holding onto the rock, he's holding onto his staff. So it really is quite an action picture. It's really dramatic, and what's interesting is you can't see the face of the shepherd. All you see is that sort of halo round it. So from that sort of code in when it was painted, people would immediately associate this picture with the Good Shepherd, with Jesus. So let us leave it there, and we will, where are we going? We'll sing another hymn, and this hymn is also based on Psalm 23, In Heavenly Love Abiding.
Thank you.
So let's return to the gospel reading now. The I am sayings in John are different pictures of Jesus' identity. And they build on the opening statement in John's gospel about seeing what God is like. And by looking at and listening to Jesus as ways of seeing what God is like too. When we talk about the Lord being my shepherd, I'm just wondering how we might be able to translate this from the pastoral cultures that into our situation. Because as I said earlier, I'm not sure how many of us have actually had much contact with sheep. I mean, our friends in Somerset keep sheep, so I go along occasionally and help help with some of the tending of the sheep, but I wouldn't say that I really understand them. So I'm just wondering what would be a more helpful descriptive noun for you, knowing what you know about shepherds. And when I was thinking about this, thinking ahead to it, I had communion with Kath at Woodside, and Tina had read the Psalm 23 to her, and Kath said, "Oh, I want to read that again." So she sat and she read that, and then she translated it, and she said, "The Lord is my line manager." And she then translated all the little all the verses into things relating to into where, if God was my line manager, what would he be doing for me? Well, he gives me good coffee breaks. We sat there and thought, wow, this is amazing. It's amazing. And it took me back to a particular version of Psalm 23. You may know it, which is actually the Japanese translation of "The Lord is my shepherd." I'm not sure that they have sheep in Japan. So they took the phrase, "The Lord is my pace setter." And it's all about slowing down and that developing that relationship with God. So if you've got a little sheep, and something occurs to you, why don't you put down on there, "The Lord is my," and whatever that word is. I'll just give you a moment to do that. And if you're willing to share that, that would be wonderful. But if that's just for you, that's okay. You may not be able to get out of the thing about "The Lord is my shepherd." Oh, Iris has got her pen out. Those of you who've managed to write something, are you happy to share what you've put on your sheep? Yes, Lindsay.
I put guardian.
Guardian. Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting thing. The same thing, right? Okay, right. That's good stuff. Anybody else got something on their sheep? Yes. Carer, yeah. Audrey.
Cloak.
That's an interesting one. Yeah. Yeah.
My personal trainer.
Oh. Oh, I'd love to see the transliteration of the rest of the psalm with that, don't you? Yes, Peter.
Yeah,
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah?
Teacher.
Teacher, yeah? Yeah? Well, also, yeah. No. Yes, Jane.
Comforter.
Comforter, yes. And yes, Rick.
It's my listener.
Listener, yeah. Compass. Thank you, Lucy. That is. Yes, you're clever people, aren't you? Annette.
Rock.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something about stability there, isn't there? Yeah. Yeah. Doctor. Yes, knowing our insides out, knowing us from the inside out. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay. That's lovely. Thank you for that. So, I mean, because we are so familiar with the passages, I'm sure that actually helps to unpack it for you. So, I want to spend a little time now looking at what we learn about God from this picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And there's two things that strike you within the passage that we have this morning. We have the noun shepherd, but we also have Jesus referring to himself as the gate. So there's this sense of protection, looking out for us, the comforter kind of image, really caring so much for the sheep that, but literally lying down and forming the gate on the sheep, on the sheepfold, so that the sheep are protected. So if the wolves come hunting, they get the shepherd first. And of course, this immediately in the way in which we know the Gospels takes us to the sacrificial nature of Jesus in laying his life down for us. Jesus is working under God's authority as part of his loving purposes. And the shepherd, of course, is also the sacrificial lamb. And that sacrifice was prophesied in Isaiah, wasn't it? If you know the Messiah, or you listen to readings at Christmas, it says, we all like sheep that have gone astray, but the Lord has laid on him the sins of us all. There's a sign of faithfulness, of being there, that rock that Annette said, being faithful. He's concerned about his flock, and when they're under threat, he doesn't run away. In Ezekiel, the way in which God shepherds the people of Israel is compared with those who are put in charge. God has put in charge and have rather failed the test. And he also talks about there being one shepherd who will tend the flock. And you see that in the passage of John, that he's saying there are other sheep that I'm going to include. It's not just you. It's not going to just being the special people, you being the special people, but other people are going to come in. And somehow that actually is going to change how you view God, and that's going to be difficult for you. I don't know if you seen a children's film called Shaun the Sheep? Yeah? It's one of the Aardman things. And it's about a sheep, Shaun, who's a rather bright and rather independent kind of sheep. And he wants a day off. And the shepherd loses his memory.
as I watched it a few years ago, I wanted the sheep, they go off into town and do all sorts of things. It's really quite amusing. Find a young person to watch it with you, and you see different levels in it. It's really clever. I really wanted the sheep and his friends to be found, and for the shepherd to recover his memory and ultimately come to the rescue. And it is a muse on the lost sheep. The extent of Jesus' commitment to his followers is absolute. He will go even to the point of death to care for them and protect them. And that's the kind of shepherd I wish the shepherd was in Shaun the Sheep. He's a bit sick. He doesn't really notice that the sheep are missing or that there's a hole in the wall. And there's then the other thing about Jesus being the good shepherd, because he knows his own and his own know him. I once had a conversation with a shepherd in the hospital. He was, and I said, "Do you really know each sheep? And he said, "Oh yes, yes. Even before the time of name tags, I knew which each sheep was, and I knew which ones are going to be a problem." yes. Yeah. Yeah. Now, let's just go back to the gospel again and think about this word good. Somebody who knows their Greek a bit better than I do, I did very little Greek, said that this could be interpreted as noble or model. So the model shepherd, he's the example shepherd. And when Jesus talks about himself being the model shepherd, he implies that his followers, for whom he is modelling shepherding, are to do likewise. That if we follow the shepherd, we're more than sheep. We are to follow him in shepherding others. These whole all statements, if you read the context in John, the religious authorities are getting more and more disturbed about what's doing, and he suddenly launches into this passage. And this is obviously a reflection by John much later on. But these are edgy statements for Jesus to be making at this particular time, because the people who think they're the shepherds of Israel are saying, "Who is this person? Where does he get all his authority from? Why is he doing this? This feels as if he's setting himself up as being something greater than who he might be." Jesus' words are challenging the religious gatekeepers of the time. And he's questioning who can be part of the flock, who can look after them, and what kind of leadership model they should be adopting. To be a religious leader of the time, you needed to be born in the right family. And here is this person who seems to have come from nowhere. And in choosing his followers, my goodness, he's cast the net rather wider. And of course, Jesus continues to do so, because here we are. So what we can learn here, what can we hear now for us in this passage? How are we sharing in the ministry of Jesus? And where is the shepherd leading us? We are all called to know the good shepherd's voice, but we also are called to help others to hear it too. Be involved in that gathering and welcoming, nurturing, caring, training even, and the sending out of the flock. And of course, it all starts with us listening to others and showing our care in that way. The sheep come and go from the fold in search of pasture, and they have freedom to roam. Our Christian life doesn't stop at the door of this church. It leaks into our lives. It affects the way in which we live the rest of the week. So we need to be conscious about the example that we give, the lead we give to others. The life of faith is one of trust in God's loving purposes for us, but it's also about encouraging others to come to him too. The pasture is unlimited, and so is God's care. You remember the passage, I'm not sure that we've had it this year, of Peter's commission to feed my sheep and tend my lambs. And it's often used at ordinations and inductions. But this goes beyond the ministry of the minister or the elders or the pastoral contacts in the church. So I wonder, as your life shines, using a different metaphor, with the light of the Lord, who sees it? So on the other side of your sheep, I want you to put who is in your flock. If you are a shepherd, who is in your flock? And in our prayers, we will bring those people to God. Okay, I'm not going to ask you to feedback on that one, but you may want to share that over coffee. No pressure though. In verse 10, Jesus declares that he has come to give life to his sheep and his followers, and to give it in all its abundance. I must admit that's one of my favourite verses in the Bible. It makes a very good password for a computer, but I don't use that now. But you might think about using Bible verses as passwords, because we're asked to do such daft things these days, aren't we? His is the authentic voice of hope, and it is in his life and teaching, his death and resurrection, that we find profound meaning and depth in our own lives. In this Easter time, the accounts of Jesus' resurrection tell us something vital about God's love for us. That's a love that cannot be destroyed on a cross and cannot be overcome by violence, oppression or opposition. And it cannot be extinguished forever. Ours is an earthly faith grounded in love, in life and in purpose. Turning to what Tina said a few weeks ago, we know the shepherd and he calls us by name, and through us he calls others to join the flock. Amen. So let's pray. Jesus, shepherd of our souls, gate of belonging, voice of hope, you call us by our names through stillness and storm. In a world where doors are shut to strangers, you fling open wide, welcome all to the green pastures of care. We thank you for all those who gather up the fragments, for Christian Aid partners who hold open doors for the weary, the wandering, the war-worn. May our churches mirror their welcome, and may our lives echo their mercy. Form us into a flock of compassion where no one is lost or left behind, and every table is a table of grace. Lead us not into complacency, but into the fullness of life, where justice and mercy kiss, and to the in-between places where you are found. Amen. So let's sing together, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." So in our prayers of concern today, when I say, "Jesus, Lord of life, can you respond, in your mercy, hear us?" And a new prayer concern was in the box today for Robert and Sheila and the family. I know we've been praying for them for many, many months, but Doreen is very poorly today and may not see the day out. So let's pray for her specifically today. Lord, as Robert and Sheila linger in death's dark veil again after such a short period, Lord, be beside them. May they be comforted by their presence. Strengthen them and support them and guide them. May that bedside be a place of peace. And may Doreen know that you are here to move her on to that next stage of her life. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy, hear us. Jesus, light of the world, bring the light and peace of your gospel to the nations, particularly Ukraine and the Middle East. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy hear us. Jesus, bread of life, give food to the hungry. Pray for those whose harvests have failed, who rely on aid. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy hear us. Jesus, good shepherd, who gave your life for the sheep, surround with care all those in particular need, especially those who are known to us on our prayer board. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy hear us. Jesus, the resurrection and the life, we give thanks for all who have lived and believed in you. Remember the families of those who have recently died. Raise us with them to eternal life. Jesus, Lord of life, in your mercy hear us. Accept our prayers and be with us always. Amen. Amen. So we're going to sing our final song, and it's a new one which we've sung a couple of times in singing group, and it's always difficult to know when and where to introduce a new one, so Liz is going to play it through first, but I hope you like it, and it's really quite easy to sing along with, we think. sounds as if you've known that, you knew it already. That's good. So let's pray. Jesus, as you walk this good earth, your feet upon land that is blessed and holy, crossing borders and boundaries to minister those in need, you encountered many people from different cultures and different nations. You listened to them, you spoke with them, you touched them, and you healed them. You blessed them and forgave them. May we follow your example, loving and tending all you have made, all that we whom we encounter, healing and sowing peace wherever you call. So send us now in the power of the Spirit. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with us wherever we go, in Jesus' name. Amen.